Tvach, Shvua Tov, this is Reuven Wolf from Los Angeles, California, Mayon Yisrael Hasidic Center. I'd like to thank you for joining in and listening into this program, into the Tanya class. Please go to our website at mayon.com, that's mayon.com. As we've done in the previous weeks, we're going to learn a piece of the Tanya relating to this week's Parsha. This week's parsha is Parsha's bow. It's the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the parsha, the literally of the Exodus. And when we read the parsha, a question that becomes very, very noticeable, something that is quite bothersome, is that the manner in which the Jewish people gained their release from Mitzrayim. Okay, Mitzrayim deserved punishment and makos and plagues, and they got what was coming to them. The question, however, is that when Moshe asked Paro for the release of the Jewish people, he did not ask for permanent release. He asked that Paro should allow the Jewish people out for a three-day festival, that they can go serve Hashem, and then they're going to return back to Mitzrayim. And that was also the reason why the Egyptians gave all their fortune to the Jewish people, because they were expecting that the Jews were only borrowing them, the clothing, the utensils, the silver, the gold, and then 3 days later they would be bringing it back to Egypt. That was the understanding, and that was the agreement. In the end, the Jews did not come back, and they left Egypt, and they escaped, which seems to be dishonest, and it seems definitely unbefitting for the Jewish people, the people that are supposed to represent morality and ethics in this world, and teach morality and ethics to the world. We are a godly people with a carrying the law of Hashem to the world, a light onto the nations. Why would God set it up in that way, that the Jews would have to engage in deception right at their beginning of a people, of becoming a people? This is a quite serious question. And this perek, the Tanya, is going to address that idea, especially since, you know, we'll say like this, you know, if Moshe had to negotiate the release of the Jewish people, so, as a negotiation tactic, he knew that Paro would never agree that the Jew to allow 600,000 slaves leave Egypt. So, therefore, he tricked him by telling him that he would only let them out for a short time to give them a break, to give them a vacation. And that he was able to, and once the Jews left, they were able to escape completely. But that is not the case. Paro never released the Jewish people willfully, by his own desire, by his own volition. Moshe couldn't negotiate it. Paro released the Jewish people when he literally had no choice. God brought him down to his knees through the very, very powerful plague of the firstborn. And Paro saw he has no choice. So reluctantly, against his will, against his desire, he let them out. So had Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, release them for good, he wouldn't either have had any a choice, and he would have had to let them out, and then it wouldn't have to be a deception. So that's the question that we're going to is going to be answered in today's Tanya class. And the Tanya over here, the Alter Rebbe, is going to explain this by examining the Exodus on the Exodus, the liberation of Mitzrayim, and the exile on a deeper level. We mentioned already in earlier classes that the exile, the Golus of Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim and the exile exists on two levels. It exists in the physical, and that the Jews physically were enslaved to the physical nation of Egypt, but paralleling that, there was also a spiritual enslavement. The souls of the Jewish people were enslaved, they were held captive in the impurity and the forces of unholiness, the forces of darkness of Egypt. Egypt was a very, very, very immoral place, a very lowly place, a place full of darkness, full of real idolatry and all kinds of other things that are abominable and against our and stand in interference between in our relationship with God. And when the Jews were in Egypt, they were held in an iron grip by the spiritual forces of Egypt, as their bodies were held in the mighty grip of physical Egypt. So when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, there was a simultaneous redemption. It was a redemption of their bodies from physical enslavement, and it was a redemption of the souls from the 49 gates of impurity that was represented by the powers of Tumah, the powers of impurity, the powers of defilement, that was the spiritual Egypt. And now, based on that, he's going to explain that since on the spiritual plane, the state in which the Jewish people were at that time was one that they can at best escape the dungeon, the darkness that they were, that their souls were in, and they couldn't free themselves in a more upfront, direct way, but it had to come through escaping through the back door. So being that spiritually it was that way, it also reflected in the physical exodus. So let's take a look at how he explains this idea of having, needing to escape. And the idea, this is in Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, on page Mem. That's on the other side of page 78, on Daf Mem. We are going to begin, it's again a middle of a chapter, but we're going to begin five lines before the end of the page. V'zois tia avaydasoi. See, over here the Tanya is dealing with a human being. On the one hand, we strive to do good, we strive to study Torah, do mitzvahs, cleave to God, and have our spiritual side active, engaged, and involved. But on the other hand, we also have a body, and the body ours craves, desires, and wants all kinds of stuff that are not necessarily holy, not necessarily godly, and many times even immoral and unholy. And our lives are a constant struggle between the two sides, and we spoke about this battle last week in the last week's class. But the problem over here is, his question that he's dealing with is the problem with joy. How can a person be besimcha? How can a person be joyous if they're continuously struggling with a side of themselves that is so unholy and so dark? And it's not, at a certain point, it can become extremely frustrating that, yes, indeed, I'm doing all these isolated acts of holiness. I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm studying Torah, I'm experiencing Shabbos, and all the other goodies that there are, spiritual goodies that there are for a Jew, but there are so many lapses, there are so many dark moments, and my body is so not in the program, it's so not interested. So over here in this chapter, he's saying that a person has to have the ability to separate and understand that even though the body might be in a non-kosher state, that does not mean that you cannot connect your soul to holiness. See, the body, in order for the body to be completely and purely elevated, for the body to be transformed and to become an entity of Kedusha, an entity of holiness, that is something that is not necessarily achievable to every human being. Big Tzaddikim, their physical bodies are reprogrammed to gravitate to desire Kedusha and holiness and spiritual matters. The average person cannot do that. The body is always going to be an entity attached and stuck, we might say, in the physical part of the world. We could get isolated acts of holiness by when we get the physical body engaging in a mitzvah, but the natural consciousness, the natural physical consciousness, is going to remain in a state of darkness. But notwithstanding the fact that the body is that way, he's saying your soul is a holy soul, your soul is a godly soul, and your soul is craving, your soul is yearning, your soul is longing for light, longing for an attachment to Hashem. So he says, quite on the contrary, the fact that your neshama is stuck in the body and is separated from Hashem while the body is pursuing all of its physical pleasures and delights, so that should make it so much more excitable and so much more enjoyable in the moment that you're doing a mitzvah. Because when you're doing a mitzvah, your neshama is gaining relief from its enslavement in the body, because the neshama is escaping momentarily. A person who has physical, is very physical all day long, but then he comes home at night and he sits down and he takes out a volume of the Talmud, of the Gemara, or he takes out a Chumash, or a Mishnayos, or a Mishnah, and he studies Torah, or involves himself in any other mitzvah, for the time, for the duration of time that he is studying Torah and doing a mitzvah, he is reuniting his neshama, enabling his neshama to soar far, far beyond the physical domain, the physical reality, and attach itself and reunite itself with the divine, with the godly light above. And that is the greatest joy that one can do, because one can be, there's no greater joy, as he explains, of the simcha and the joy of escaping a dungeon. Let's read it inside. V'zoyis tiyah, and this will be avodasa, a person's avoda kol yom of all of his life. B'simcha rabba, with great joy. He simchas hanefesh, this is the joy of the soul. B'tzeisam mahaguf, when the neshama is going out of the body. When we say going out of the body, it doesn't mean, God forbid, departure of the body, like after 120 when the body leaves the body, when the soul leaves the body. It doesn't mean that. It means it's going out of bodily activity, physical things that are from the world of the body, and the soul is going into, it's leaving the body, it's going into what we might say her world, her desire, her realm, and that is attachment to God. So, b'tzeisa mahaguf hametuav, when the neshama, when the soul gets out, is able to exit the loathsome body, v'shavel b'savi, and she can return to her father's house, kin ureho, like in her youth. The soul is now flapping her wings, soaring back up, and going back to her space, like the neshama was in her youth before she came down. Shas ha-Torah v'avoida. When does that happen? At the time when a person is studying Torah or a person is engaged in service of Hashem, any kind of prayer or any other mitzvah. A kamaimer, as the sages say, li is kol yom of b'tshuva, that a person should be all their life in repentance. Now, simply it means that, say, halavai, it would be wonderful if a person would be repenting all day long. The question, however, on that is, what do you mean to be all day long in repentance? If a person sins, that means that we have to sin all the time. Because in order to be able to repent all the time, you have to sin, and then you can repent, and sin again, you can repent. That can't be that the sages are saying wishfully that a person should be all their life in tshuva, because that would mean wishing that we should sin all the time. So obviously we have to understand tshuva doesn't only mean tshuva from sin, but tshuva means the literal meaning of the word. It means to return. Tshuva means to go back, to return. And this is when the neshama comes into the body, being in the body takes the soul and traps the soul in its physical world, in the physical needs, wants, desires. So the neshama is now separated from her source, from the source of light. Tshuva means to enable your soul to return to cleave to God. So tshuva is every time you're doing a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is being done with that intention. You want to bring relief to your neshama and allow the neshama back into the glowing world of heaven above, where the neshama came from. That's returning the neshama. And that's what a person should be doing all day long, all their life, continuously having pity and compassion for their neshama, and saying, wow, look how terrible it is for my soul. She is in misery. She's stuck in this such a lowly state where it's not experiencing and feeling Hashem. I want to pick my neshama up and return her back to heaven. And there is no greater joy, like when someone comes out of exile and from captivity. Like, by way of analogy, ben melech, a prince, when you have a prince that was in captivity. Not only was in captivity, but he was grinding behind the mill. He was in a prison. So he's in jail, and one of the jobs they would give to prisoners, a real backbreaking labor, is to man the mill. So that was a very, very difficult work. As the prince is in prison, he was taken into captivity. And he is given this backbreaking labor. And not only that, but he's covered in filth. And now what happened when the prince was liberated, the Yetzei L'chafshi, and he went out to freedom, Malbeis Aviv, to his father's house, Hamelech, the king. So what kind of joy? There's no greater joy than that the prince was able to run away and escape the prison. And the deeper the dungeon, the darker, the gloomier the exile, the dungeon was, the greater the joy for the prince when he was able to leave that exile, when he was able to leave that captivity. And that is the same thing with us. Even though the body might be very dark at times, and sometimes a person looks at themselves and they go, ugh, yuck, and he says, but that shouldn't be a deterrent from doing a mitzvah. Quite on the contrary. If this is who my body is, if this is how lowly I am, so how great is the mitzvah and how wondrous is the joy of my neshama, of my soul, that it can come out of this darkness. And another place of Tanya, he continues and he says, not only our neshama is so happy, how great it is for Hashem. Because God has been missing the soul, and God has so much pity on the neshama. And now when the soul comes back, the simcha, the joy is unbelievable, both on heaven above and down here below. And even though the body is standing in its abominable state, and in its loathsomeness, stated in Zohar, the nikra mishcha dechivya, that the the body is called the hide of the snake. So the body is still in a very unholy state. Because the very substance of the animal soul, the animating life force, has not been transformed to good. To be absorbed in holiness. So, because that's only a tzaddik is able to completely transform their body and their physical self to be kedusha. But an ordinary person can't do that. Nevertheless, tiyaker nafshei be'einov, a person's soul should be precious in their own eyes. L'smoyach b'simchasa, that you should rejoice with the simcha, with the joy of your soul. Yoiser ma'aguf hanivze, more than the abominable body. In other words, it's true you're frustrated with your body. True you're upset at the loneliness of the body. But forget about your body a little bit. Pay attention to the neshama. Look how wonderful it is for the soul that the soul is having now a time when it can rejoin with her. She's missing. She's yearning for light so badly, and now she can go back to her source. She's in an ecstasy. She's in bliss. And that itself should be the tremendous simcha that a person has. Shaloyla arviv, and not to mix ulevalvel, and to confuse simcha sanefesh, the joy of the soul, beats savay naguf, with the sadness of the body. Yes, there is reason to be sad about the part of the person that has not been rectified yet. Fine, so we'll deal with it another time. But right now, I have a reason to be incredibly besimcha for what Hashem has done, giving me the opportunity instantly when I do a mitzvah to come out of all darkness and to join His light. V'nei p'chin hezu, he says, this idea of what? Of redeeming your soul while the body is still in an unholy state. He says, this is literally the exodus of Egypt. It says, by the exodus, the people escaped. And here's where we get to the question that we asked at the beginning of the class. The question is, it seems to be a very wondrous, why was it so? Why did they have to escape? If they would have said to Pari, that he should send them out free la'olam forever, would Pari not have had to send them out? Of course he would have had to. He did it against his will. Ela mipnei, but rather the reason is because spiritually, because at that time when the Jews were going out of Egypt, their bodies, their evil, the negativity that was within their soul, was still in its power. Their Yetzirah, the evil inclination, was still very strong in the left ventricle of the heart, which is the side where the Yetzirah is. Because their filth had not stopped at Matan Torah. See, by Matan Torah, they were completely transformed. Everything, they were completely holy. But by the going out of Egypt, they still had an unholy side. And what they were doing spiritually was, despite the fact that there was a part of them that was still enjoying, delighting, and wanting, and craving for all the immoral things of Egypt, nevertheless, they escaped it. They allowed their neshamas and said, you know what, I don't have to be trapped over here. I can run and pursue a relationship with God, even though there's a part of me that still is attracted to Egypt. And since spiritually that's the way it was, that even though they weren't fully and completely transformed into holiness, they were able to separate and get their souls out of bondage. So because that's what it means, they escaped, they narrowly escaped from the confinements of their own negativity that was within them. So that reflected also in the physical redemption, that when they left Egypt, they didn't leave an open, direct way, they left by escaping of it. As he explains over here, Rak Magamosam, their aim, v'cheftzam, and their desire, ha'isalatzeis nafshem elikiz, they wanted to get their godly soul out, migolus asitra achra, from the imprisonment, from the exile of the Sitra Achra, who Tumas Mitzrayim, which is the impurity, defilement of Egypt, uledavka bo yizbarach, and to cleave to Hashem. Ukedechsiv, like it says in a pasuk, that where do we see something like this, that there is such a type of a service of running away and escaping? It says in a pasuk, Hashem Uzi, Hashem is my strength, Uma Uzi, and He is my fortress, Uma Nusi, and He is my refuge, Biyoyim Tzara, in a time of infliction, Mizgabi, He is the high tower, Umanusi, am I a refuge, Vihum Manoisli, and He is an escape for me. I escape, I run away, I find moments of relief in my connection to Hashem. V'lechein, and therefore La'asid, in the future when Mashiach comes, Kesheyaver Hashem Ruach Tumim in the Aretz, when the spirit of impurity will be removed from the earth. Ksiv, it says over there, Uba Menusa Loi Seilechun, that you're not going to go in flight, you're not going to be running, because Hashem is going with you. Because when Mashiach comes, since the spirit of impurity is going to be removed from the earth, so there's not going to be anywhere, a person is not going to have to escape from himself, from his own demons. There's no one to be escaped, because there won't be any demons left. In Mitzrayim, there was a part of them that was still unholy, and they had to run away from within, from within their own negativity, running to Kedusha. Since that's the way they went out of Egypt spiritually, so that's why it translated also in the physical redemption, they ran out of Mitzrayim. And they left, they escaped from Mitzrayim. When Mashiach comes, when we're going to experience B'mehera B'yameinu, ultimate transformation, so then the physical exodus, going out of, from amongst the nations, over here as well, is going to be not through an escape, but in a very open and direct and straight way. May everyone have a Shavua Tov and a really good week. Thank you.